Rivalry weekend is officially here, and we got a lot, not only of interstate rivalries that are going to be on this week, but also several college football playoff deciding matchups. The latest college football playoff polls out, the number 3 of 5, and it shows little change really from last week. You know, the only poll that really matters, that's that poll number 5, out the Sunday after the conference championship games are decided.
From across the Volunteer State with your exclusive scouting report, welcome to the Coach's Meeting. This is Coach to Coach.
Dave McGinnis, let's start with what we are seeing from the teams competing for the playoffs. What our eyes tell us, as always. Ranking right now, that's a talking point, but 2 weeks from now, that's when we're going to get the final rankings, those seedings that really count after the championship ball games. We've got 11 games to evaluate from all these teams. Everybody has one remaining. So which of the top-ranked teams do I see, as the top teams that are heading into the playoffs? Dave, we got three teams that are undefeated: Ohio State, Indiana, A&M at the top of the polls. All three are 11-0, without question, even with the loss this week, and probably even with the loss in a conference championship game, all three of those are going to be in. But let's take those three, and then we'll look at the one-loss teams and then the two-loss teams. Kind of what do your eyes tell you about these three teams overall? Let's start with Ohio State.
I think Ohio State's the best team. They've been the best team ever since they won this championship last year. And now, as far as their strength of schedule is ranked 75th in the country. So, but maybe that's because of the people they play aren't as good as they are, and that's the reason why. But to me, Ohio State is still, right now, the most complete team of those three.
Well, and you have to compare, or I guess you don't have to, but we all compare them to what we saw last year when they got into the playoffs. You know, all four ball games by double-digit wins.
Nobody can touch them.
This team, you know, doesn't appear to be quite as good as that team. But overall, boy, I agree with you. It's hard to pick against them. They're in all likelihood going to have a first-round bye. And they're going to be playing against seeds, of course, if they are the number one seed. And if they continue winning, they all likely will be. That means they're going to have a seeding advantage. Indiana, a little bit different. And it's one of those teams, we're going to be talking about three or four of them, that certainly would not fit into the blue blood category, maybe wouldn't even fit into almost the blue, a light blue shade of blue blood. But let's kind of take a look at Indiana. 11-0, I think, and I'm just speaking for myself now, the perception of who Indiana has been kind of affects the way I look where they are now. But I've watched them play 4 or 5 games this year. I don't know of any team that's playing better than they are. Do they have the names that maybe some of the top programs? No. But just watching them play. But what are your eyes seeing with Indiana?
To me, and I agree with what you're saying as far as they don't have an overly large amount of quote blue chip guys, but they play together really, really well. And I think Cignetti has done a wonderful job, because it seemed when you watch them play, first of all, they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't beat themselves. And then they've got a little bit of magic going in the fact that they really think they're good. They believe they're good. And you know as well as I do, all these years that we coached, how you feel about yourself a lot of times is important. And I think they feel like that they're a really good team. Their strength of schedule is ranked 45th in the country, which is, you know, about in the middle. The team that's right below them in the rankings is Texas A&M. Texas A&M's strength of schedule is ranked 16th in the country because of the conference that they play in. To me, I would love to see a game between those two football teams, because it would be a lot of athletes at Texas A&M with a guy that Elko's put together against a group that Cignetti's put together that's got a lot of belief in himself.
We took a lot about fits on this program, about fits with coaches and programs. We talked a couple of weeks ago about it. It didn't appear to be a good fit at LSU with Brian Kelly. I would say it's just 180 degrees different. Cignetti in Indiana, perfect fit.
Oh, I think you're 100% right, Coach, and that's kind of what I think. And here's the other thing. Cignetti is embracing being there. It's not like he took that job looking to go somewhere else. He's coached at all those lower-level schools, have been very, very successful, and I think that makes a huge difference too, especially nowadays in this transfer portal and the NIL. When you're trying to convince players, you know, on a yearly basis to either stay or to come to your place, if you really believe in that place, that makes a difference.
Well, we'll be talking more about coaches staying or leaving a little bit later in the show. Let's hit that final undefeated team, 11-0. You just alluded to them, Texas A&M. You're from Texas. I grew up right there. We're close to Texas. We all know about A&M has always had that potential. And has always been very, very close. They got a ton of money. They got a great fan base. They got everything you're looking for, quite frankly, if you're a head football coach. This is as close as they've been in a while, Mac. What are you seeing, though, from this A&M team?
Well, we've talked about it in previous shows. They got the scare of their life a couple of weeks ago and were able to come back and persevere through it. What I see is you talk about fits. Mike Elko was the perfect fit at the perfect time for them because they had gone all in with glitz and glamour and a whole bunch of money. And as you said, they just never did get it done. Elko had been there before. He's a football coach. That's all he wants to be. I mean, he's not out there grandstanding for anything else. But the athletes that they have, and you're 100% right, Coach. If you ever go down there, and no, there's not one thing as a coach that you could ever ask for that they don't have. Or if they don't have it, they'll get it.
Now, the Aggie Nation and College Station, where they're located, they're in a state in themselves. They're in Texas, but they ain't Texas. You know what I'm saying?
That's
they ain't the University of Texas.
And that's the other thing like that sticks in their craw, too.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The Tennessee Lottery has had many big winners. More than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, life-changing fun. But please, play responsibly.
Doug Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC. I see.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
This is Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Continuing our look at the college football playoff rankings this past week, we just talked about the three undefeated teams, Ohio State, Indiana, and A&M. Mac, let's look at the next four, which all have one loss. They're all 10-1. Georgia, Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas Tech. Those are the four teams right there. First off, barring huge upsets, and a couple of them got big games this week, likely that all four of these teams are going to get in also. We know that there's going to be an SEC champion in, a Big Ten champion in, a Big 12 champion team. In and an ACC champion in. But as we look at this group, one of them is probably, or A&M is going to win the SEC. But let's just kind of work down this list. Georgia, 10-1. Georgia, of course, national power for the last half dozen years. This does not appear to me to be one of their better teams. Well, one of their best teams. But it is one of their better teams.
I think you're 100% right. And to me, when you start looking at this next tier of teams, I mean, on any given Saturday that they're going to play, the difference, Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart has been there. He's done it regardless of – and defensively, they've been as good as anybody in the country in years past. And you start looking at but Georgia has done it with really, really top-tier, solid players. But to me, the biggest X factor of Georgia is Kirby Smart.
Thing that he has built down there, and we talk about programs a lot, not years, but programs here. And there were several games this year, I think University of Tennessee was one, in Knoxville. He's had a couple of others that they won because of the program. You have to get a little lucky. To win championships, you have to get a little lucky. You have to have the ball bounce your way. You mentioned Texas A&M in the previous segment. You know, they had a scare there where they could have lost, but they did not. Georgia has had a couple of those also, but they did not. And again, they're dangerous anytime they play, and they'll be dangerous again this year. Let's go all the way out to the West Coast. Oregon, Dan Lanning out there has built a program. I've been to Eugene. Oregon is not a state that turns out a lot of high school players that become college players. He's had to recruit other places. But you watch his team play now. Mac, of all the teams that we're going to be talking about right now, everything that I've seen from Oregon, they are the fastest team. They have speed, not as big in some areas, but he has built this team offensively and defensively. Now, they got some big guys, don't get me wrong, but this is a speed football team, and if it gets into a foot race, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, and I think that's a great observation on them because when you know, and I've watched them play too. Their line of scrimmage is probably not as overpowering, if that's a word, for a couple of these at the top. But you're 100% right. The athletes that they have, the skilled athletes they have, they're always going to be in it. And plus, he knows how to use them. He knows how to use them. And you say you've been out there. I mean, there's not a whole hell of a lot else out there except the University of Oregon. And that's why it's important. And they get a lot of players from California.
And there are
a bunch of them.
Without question, they're helped by a guy named Phil Knight. Without question. There's a lot of swooshers out there, if you know what I mean. Let's talk about another team that has had a huge infusion of money this last year, Texas Tech, 10-1. Mac, growing up, the Red Raiders, loved to listen to them, loved to watch them. Weren't a factor any time I was growing up. Have not really been a factor much at all in the old Southwest or the Big 12 or, quite frankly, what they're in right now with everything. But as you look at them now, a dangerous football team. The team, I would say, maybe Indiana's close, and there's others out there, but Mac, Texas Tech at 10-1 right now, almost entirely because of transfer portal, aided by name, image, likeness.
They are right there, the glowing poster child. The way you get, first of all, their talent evaluation, their asset allocation, they've got it down. They understand. They understood how to do it. Now, Cody Campbell came in there with $13 billion. That's a start, but they were willing to do anything. They were tired of being the stepchildren to what was going on. I was out there for the BYU weekend. It's amazing what has transformed in Lubbock, Texas with the Get Your Guns Up Raider group right now.
Well, you and I have talked about so much about this in the past, just in Dallas, Texas alone. You got all those teams and all the alumni that's in there. You got Texas, you got SMU, you got them all in there, right? And Texas Tech is kind of out there in Lubbock, which is a long, long way out there. They didn't have many seats at those tables of those board meetings with those blue bloods there, and another team that really underdog. Found a way through name, image, likeness. I would say those two, Indiana being the other, those two programs right now have done the best at marrying transfer portal, name, image, likeness, and hiring good football coaches.
You're 100% right. And the thing about it is I've watched every Tech game because, of course, that's, you know, I grew up really very close to there. And I would go there and watch Donnie Anderson play. That's how far back I go with Texas Tech. Their line of scrimmage on both sides, they're winning the line of scrimmage. Their talent acquisition people have done a great job because they play physical football on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Ole Miss 10-1. Lane Kiffin's done a great job down there. Again, three of the teams we're talking about, Indiana, we just talked about Tech. Ole Miss is another one of those teams who have done a really good job, and I put this on Lane Kiffin, coaching that coaching staff. Transfer portal, name, image, likeness, 10-1. We know there's some things going on that we'll discuss a little bit later as far as coaching changes. But just that team right now, Mac, well, tell me what you're seeing so far.
I think that you talk about somebody that understood really quickly about the transfer portal, how to identify what fits what you're doing, and also in this age of social media and the way that things are, Lane Kiffin is the best at it. Because what he has been able to do there in Oxford, he's transformed that place. He has transformed that place as far as to – they're a good football team, but he was one of the first ones to really embrace – the transfer portal and bring them all in, and he's sitting there with two quarterbacks. I mean, he knows what he's doing with this, and to me, the job that he's done there, it's a whole lot like, and I was very familiar with it, the job that Bill Snyder did at Kansas State, very, very similar.
Well, and there is no question, undeniable. Not open for debate. He is the Mac Daddy of social media.
He is the Mac Daddy of social media in this day and age.
Let's take a look. All right, so that's seven teams. Three of them undefeated, four of them with one loss, almost assured of being seven of the 12 teams that are in the college football playoff. Mac, let's look at some two-loss teams that are higher up. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama. Certainly blue bloods. Any way you want to look at it, going back before you and I were even thought about being born. Let's talk about those real quick. Notre Dame, let's start with them. 9-2. I think, I'll throw my two cents in, and I want to tell you what your eyes tell you. I look for well-coached football teams. There are well-coached teams that have really good players. There are well-coached teams that have average players. And then there's teams that have really good players that aren't very well coached. I would put Notre Dame right now in there. They don't have the maybe as great of players, as good of players as some do, but as far as putting them in the right spot and coaching, this is as good a good job as being done in college football.
There's right no now. Doubt. There is no doubt. And Notre Dame's going to be in this tournament. They're going to be in this tournament, and they're going to be a tough out. And for this reason, they can run the football. They can run the football, and that is extremely important. But they play – and your point as far as to being well-coached, they don't beat themselves. You watch Notre Dame play, there's not a whole lot of mental errors out there.
Well, what's one of the first things we do as coaches? You don't lose the game first. You can't win it, but you can lose it. But you need to work on not losing it. Let's hit real quickly here. Alabama at 9-2, Oklahoma at 9-2. Both of them have work to be done, both with a loss – And we could throw Notre Dame in there also. You have three losses. You're probably not going to get in that 12-team tournament. Alabama, of course, has Auburn this week. Well, let's just talk about Oklahoma and Alabama, what you've seen
so
far.
Oklahoma is one of the best defensive teams in the country. In the country.
They are the one team.
Their quarterback's getting healthy at the right time.
They're the one team, Mac, that I would say wins because of their defense. Not that their offense can't, but that's not the focus is on their defense. They intercept passes. They score touchdowns. They force turnovers. And then they play good enough on offense.
Well, here's the other thing they do defensively, Coach. And you and I think we both look at this and agree. They beat you up. They beat you up defensively because they're very, very physical.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on, and that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I get the same cut every time. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit doubledogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is Rivalry Weekend, and it actually starts Friday. Mac, let's take a look at some of the games. We'll start with Southeastern Conference games and then others around the country. Friday, all on ABC. You know, ABC got the contract this year and ESPN, Disney, for the Southeastern Conference. And, man, have they done a wonderful job of putting – you got three windows. You got the 11 o'clock window, the 2:30 window, and the 6:30 window. That's in the central time zone, of course, which is where you and I reside. But let's just look up this year. 11 o'clock game, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Ole Miss – certainly in the running. This is a rivalry game. We all know what happens in rivalry games. Georgia goes to Georgia Tech. Texas A&M goes to Texas. Both those teams still in the hunt. Kind of interesting. All three of those games, Ole Miss, Georgia, A&M right now are clearly in. If they win, they all got to go on the road, though. Let's start with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. We talked last segment a little bit about Ole Miss on that game. But, again, win and they're in.
Win and they're in. And, I mean, it is – but the Egg Bowl right now with what's going on is taking on an even greater sense of urgency. because of the head coach's situation. So there's a lot riding on this game other than, you know this, I mean, you've been in the Southeastern Conference your whole life. The big thing that goes, I mean, that's a huge rivalry. People got to understand, you know, they may think, well, you know, Mississippi, that's a huge, huge rivalry. But there's a lot riding on this Egg Bowl this year, a lot riding on the Egg Bowl.
I want to come back and talk about what you just discussed. Everybody knows it, listen to this show, Lane Kiffin, the decision that has come out from Ole Miss, and I guess Kiffin had to agree with this, they're going to know whether he's going to stay or go after the Egg Bowl. Of course, the Egg Bowl is Friday, so that means we're going to find out on Saturday on that again. Next segment, we'll be getting to that a little bit. Georgia Tech was in the running for the ACC championship. They still have an outside chance of getting in. They will not be going to the ACC championship. Georgia rolling along right now also. But, again, a big game. And these are two teams. Again, it played in Atlanta. Now, I didn't like playing. It's certainly not a neutral site, but we know there's going to be a lot of bulldog, but a lot of wolfing going on in that stadium. But talk a little bit about Georgia Tech. I know from the things that we've discussed in the past, Georgia Tech, as you talk about another extremely well-coached team. Got a quarterback in the King youngster who is among the best in the country, but they're a physical football team. Where you see this ball game?
Well, the thing about, again, I'm going to go to Kirby Smart. Because when you got to get ready to play a team that's got an unusual offense like they do, Georgia Tech does, I'm talking about, Kirby Smart will be able to X and O that, will be able to X and O that thing. Georgia, probably throughout the roster, has the better roster. To me, Georgia would have to lose this ball game. That you know, you always talk about either losing the ball game or you get beat. I don't think Georgia Tech beats them. I think if Georgia comes on the back end of it and loses it, that's the only way that happens.
Good point. Very good point on that. All right. Nobody knows any more about this next matchup, the 6:30 game on ABC. A&M goes into Austin, Texas, plays Texas. Texas still has a chance to get in, but they've got three losses. But Texas, usually the shoe's on the other foot. A&M is trying to ruin Texas season. It certainly won't ruin. A&M's going to get win or lose on this, but what a huge, huge ball game. I'd like to have a half dozen tickets to that ball game, Mac. I think maybe you and I could have a pretty good time with the money that we would be making.
I'm telling you that's an insane environment, and it's going to be even more insane. A&M's got the better team this year. They've got the better team. But Texas is Texas. There's just something there. That is going to be – you talk about ABC, you know, getting the crown jewel and all these three games and these time slots. I mean, people will watch the other two and get ready. But this one's the one. This is the one. Can't wait to watch this.
Great lineup, and then Saturday it's all going to continue. I'm going to go through the list here, and we'll come back and talk about. We can't talk about every single one of them, but just, again, rivalry weekend. Clemson to South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma. That's not a big rivalry, but when you have 16 teams added, somebody's got to play somebody. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, we're going to say, though, for last, a big rivalry. Florida State is at Florida, Alabama, Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Let's start right there. Alabama, again, one of those two lost teams. You got Alabama, you got Vanderbilt, you got Oklahoma in those Saturday games that are there with still a chance. If you have two losses, if you can end up 10-2, you're going to be in the conversation. Every 10-2 team's not going to get in, but all three of these have an opportunity to do that. Let's start with the Iron Bowl down in Alabama. Anybody that's followed this game, and I've followed ever since I've been part of the SEC, you never know who's going to win this ball game, especially at Auburn. Now, you would think they don't have a head coach. They got an interim coach. You would think that the odds would be strong for Alabama. But I've seen this game take a lot of different from a 109-yard field goal return to a Hail Mary. Anything can happen in this ball game.
Yeah.
Having said that, Alabama should, if they take care of business, should be in good shape here.
Alabama's the better team, but I'm glad that you brought that up because, I mean, with your experience with that game probably more than any of these others has had some unusual outcomes with Auburn. There's something about that, and as you well know, that is a hate relationship there too.
Vanderbilt goes to Tennessee. That is a 2:30 ball game. I'm going to save that for the next segment because we're going to talk about this ball game and kind of the matchups and what we expect to see. And boy, Florida State and Florida. Normally, Mac, that game, and the reason it was scheduled at 3:30, the reason it was scheduled at a great time slot was the fact that it was scheduled before the season. We almost need what the NFL has, where you got to cut
flex.
We have flex times, but we don't have a flex scheduling on this. I don't know. No, Coach Norvell was given another year, which I think is very smart. I don't know that Florida State wanted to give him another year, but if you look at all the openings out there, now's probably not a time for Florida State to be trying to hire a head football coach because there's so many openings. Florida, though, I just want to talk real quickly because, of course, they played Tennessee last week in Gainesville. That was about as pitiful an effort from a football team. I don't ever like to question players whether they're playing their best, but that was clearly a team to me. Now, Tennessee played very well. They were ready to play. But Mac, Florida in that ballgame looked like they just completely quit. Let me give you just one thing that happened in that ballgame. 31-0 at halftime. They come out. Now, this is Florida, Tennessee, all right, in Gainesville, Florida. They had a great crowd there. I mean, it wasn't a sparse crowd.
The atmosphere was all of that.
It was the start of the ball game. It evaporated pretty quickly. But at the 10-minute mark, down 31 in a 10-minute mark of the third quarter, they started running the football and running clock. Very apparent. Hey, we're crying uncle. Wave the white flag. That was a great surprise to me. Now, again, they don't have a head football coach. They got an interim who's not going to be the coach. But that was very surprising to me.
I agree with you 100%. And just because of what the history of that game had been, I mean, you lived it. You know what that is. It's playing down there. And you're right. When you're just watching the game, if you didn't know anything, that atmosphere, they were ready. The fans were ready for a minute.
We're going to have to do a few shows after the regular season before the college football playoffs begin. And one of the things I'm going to talk about is, and I think that game maybe exemplified it, at least to me, in this era of name, image, likeness, of transferring wherever you want to go, are your players, in this instance, when they know they're going to have a new coach, where they really have nothing to play for, do they play for pride? Again, we'll talk about that in future shows.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Doug Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC.
Bill Mayo here, VFL from 1981 through 1984. For the last 5 decades, Volunteer Welding has been supplying Tennessee companies with industrial gases, welding supplies, CO2, and propane for all their business needs. Our goal is great local service with national capabilities. Check out our customer-friendly website at volunteerwelding.com. With locations across the Volunteer State in Nashville, Knoxville, Cookeville, Tullahoma, and Jackson, Volunteer Welding can meet all of your business needs.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Vanderbilt coming to Neyland Stadium this Saturday. Let's talk a little bit about it, Mac. Big, big ball game. Vanderbilt, if they win, certainly will be in the conversation for the college football playoff. They will end up 10-2, and we know a 10-2 Southeastern Conference team, depending on how many there are, going to have an opportunity to get into the playoffs. They're outside looking in right now. Tennessee with three losses, not going to be able to make it to the college football playoff, but this is a huge, huge ball game. Let's start with lessons, 11 game lessons for the University of Tennessee. Let's go back to Florida last week. Tell the folks what you just told me about at watching that ball game.
I thought that was Tennessee's most complete ball game, and I think just technique wise, flow wise, the way they attacked their opponent, I thought it was the best game of the year for them. And I'm not even talking about the opponent right now. I'm just talking about the way Tennessee operated offensively, defensively, and with teams. That was the most, in my mind, and I watch every one of them very closely. That's our job. That's what we do. I thought it was their most complete game of the year.
Good game plans both sides of the football. We know that defensively they had some busts. It looked to me like, Mac, I think it's pretty apparent to me defensively they reduced what they were doing, didn't play nearly as many coverages, didn't blitz nearly as much. Let their players go make plays, and they made a bunch of them. 31-0 at halftime. You know, as fans, you want to see that continue, and a lot of fans, particularly in that ball game. You know, I think most Tennessee fans would tell you if we can score 100, let's score 100 on them. But having said that, I thought Josh Heupel did a great job as a head football coach. Now, he's an offensive guy, but they're up 31-0. If you don't lose the game, if you don't give them the game, I thought he did a great job slowing the pace down a little bit. There was not a single deep throw completion, or not just a one or two deep throws by this Tennessee offense. That was the thing that caught my eye from a game plan standpoint. Two deep safety. They knew that's what they were going to get. Their defensive coordinator at Florida basically said that. We're not going to let them have splash plays. That's one thing to say that, but for an offense that really thrives on that deep pass, there was not a single deep completion over 20, 25 yards in this ball game, and still Tennessee won easily.
Well, that was my point in saying it was very well orchestrated and coached. Tennessee had a very disciplined approach to this ball game, because you're right. Florida was playing two high safeties back there, and I thought Tennessee did a great job, too, of putting the tight end in the backfield, using him as a lead blocker, and then all of a sudden they throw a bootleg to him, you know, out there on the edge. For the first touchdown, it was a beautiful play. To me, it was one of the better scheme strength plays all year that Tennessee has had throughout the course of that ball game. But it started being very disciplined about what you had to do.
Oh, you bring that up, and let's just talk real quickly about what coaches do. This is a big ball game, whether it's the first game of the year or the last game of the year, Tennessee, Florida. We know this from being in the coaching profession, and this game, I think, really bared it out. They did some things offensively. You mentioned one with a couple things with that tight end coming across. They had some plays that had not been run all year long that I am sure were worked on all year long, probably going back to last spring, especially for this ball game. Getting the quarterback out on bootlegs a little bit more so. I thought the game plan and the game plan is one thing, but then to go out and call it and execute it. Tennessee has not had a better game. They haven't had a game as good, I don't think, offensively as offensive execution and game plan as they did in this ball game.
Yeah, and that was my point. Just watching it, it seemed very calculated, and it was very, very, and I'm going to use the word again, disciplined. That was important.
Let's talk about the Vanderbilt game and the lessons that come into this thing. A couple of things on Vanderbilt, and I want you to give me your thoughts on this. Number one, here's what I've seen. I watched every single game Vanderbilt's played. I've watched every single game going into games that Tennessee had played, conference games. Here's some things about Vanderbilt. They're not going to beat themselves. If you plan on them beating themselves, you're going to be in for a very long day. They are very solid fundamentally. That includes the kicking game. You better plan on a 60-minute ball game. You better plan on it going into the fourth quarter. And you better plan on maybe going down to the last series either stopping or scoring on your own. Tennessee has an advantage, I think, in the depth on defense because they played a lot. And I think they'll use that for the first three quarters. Again, this is one of those games. Might not work out that way. But this is one of those games where you better plan on and your team better be ready to play 60 minutes. That means as coaches, especially on the defensive side, you got to give your players enough rest because we want to be strong going into that fourth quarter.
Yeah, and again, I know we're going to get into some particulars on this ball game, but when you start looking at strength versus strength, we just talked about they didn't have many explosive plays through the air against Florida because of the way they play. There's going to be some open areas against Vanderbilt. Those explosive plays are through the air, I think, is one of the ways that Tennessee can be successful in this ball game. But on the opposite side of it, and we've talked about this before, running quarterbacks are a problem for anybody. But this guy at Vanderbilt, you better do something about him.
Diego Pavia, in my mind, I've watched him for 2 years now. I've had a conversation with him, a 5-minute conversation at a Vanderbilt practice. In my mind, and maybe I'm a little prejudiced on this, maybe, he is the best game day quarterback in the Southeastern Conference because he can beat you so many ways. He can beat you in the first quarter. He can beat you in the last quarter. He can beat you with called runs. He can beat you when a play breaks down and he has to run. He can beat you throwing the ball deep. You let him get outside the pocket. He can beat you either running it or throwing it there. Tennessee defensively, if there's ever a ball game, and here's what defensive coordinators do. Here's what you did. Here's what I did. You go in and say, what do we have to do with this guy? You better keep him in the pocket, and you better make his runs be inside, which he can do. Because you let him get outside the pocket, you're going to have a long day on defense. That doesn't mean you're not going to win, but you're not going to win on defense if you let him get outside that pocket much.
That is so – I'm so glad you said that because that's 100% true, and that's why I say when I've put together a lot of game plans on defense, and you have too. And when you always highlight, here's who we have to stop, the highlight this week, I'm sure, is on that quarterback to start with.
Doesn't make any difference what their other players do. I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
But it
doesn't. From a defensive standpoint, you keep him contained. He's going to make plays. You keep him contained, you're probably going to win the game defensively. Again, I don't ever say you're going to win or lose one side of the ball. I mean, you can give up 50 points and win 51-50, or you can win 7-6, or you can win 3-2. But bottom line is, if they're going to win, they're going to have to contain him. And you know, Mac, the best thing, they got tons of plays on him. There's three games that I would look at.
I know what you're going to say.
Last year's game. In Nashville, and then this year, Oklahoma and Texas game. Those are the three games that I would watch if I was coaching up there because it tells you what you can do and what you can't do in both those.
Well, absolutely, and that's very, very important. Now, they'll break down all of them, as you know, but what you would concentrate on, I agree with you 1,000%, Coach Matthews. I agree with that so much.
And it's very apparent to both teams. We can talk from Vanderbilt's side on this also, but from Tennessee's side, it was very apparent from about game 4 or 5 on that this game was going to really mean something at the end of the year.
Let me ask you, you've been on both sides of this. I mean, you kind of are in the same neighborhood with both of these places. Has there been a more impactful Vanderbilt-Tennessee game in recent memory than this one?
Well, I played or coached in 13 of them. Okay.
Well, that's my point.
And on both sides. I spent some on Vanderbilt, more on Tennessee, more on Vanderbilt. I don't think there has been. Now, there have been games where if Tennessee won the game, they would win the SEC championship, all right, back before we had the conference championship games, or would get them into the championship game. But not one where both teams now, I mean, Tennessee can end up 9-3, good year. Vanderbilt can end up 10-2, great year. So I can't think when. But the other part of it is, Mac, I don't know that I've seen a year where they're so evenly matched right now. It would not be surprise me to see either one of these teams win. And I think if they both play well, both of them are going to have an opportunity to win. Two completely different offensive schemes. We know what Tennessee does, spread them out, attack deep. I will say this, Tennessee's opportunity offensively for splash plays, the one thing about the defense for Vanderbilt, you can take advantage of their defensive backs. They are extremely, extremely aggressive. They jump the out routes. They jump the curl routes. They are aggressive. And we know this, when you have aggressive plays, what's the best way to attack a team defensively?
Double move.
Out and ups, stop and goes, you know, anything like that. So Tennessee's going to have some opportunities to score. It's going to get down to probably what we've seen all year long, really. If Joey Aguilar has a really good ball game, I think Tennessee will probably win, assuming their defense plays well.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you, because to me, these are two really well-coached football teams. And this iteration of Vanderbilt has probably got the athletes now to match up better than they ever have. I think this is really a very, very, very interesting game.
Well, it's the perfect scheme and perfect timing for Vanderbilt. They got 18, 20 seniors that play. They got a quarterback that's getting a little gray in his beard if he had one, a beard. You're right. They're two really good. I think it's going to be a great football game.
I do, too.
I do, and I think both teams will play very, very well.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
More than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun, but please play responsibly.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, set, stay, eat. At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on, and that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I get the same cut every time. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state, with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
Time for for the weekly drive around college football, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Other than the games on the field, Dave McGinnis, there's no question what the talk has been in the Southeastern Conference, probably all around college football. It's the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes, I guess. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? When's he going to let people know? Has he already let people know? Does he know? This has been an interesting last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, first of all, throughout the whole landscape right now, because of the way the calendar is set, teams are letting, this is a very, very turbulent time for coaches right now. It really is. Just because of, not only because of NIL, the transfer portal, but the way the calendar is set. So, with all of that being said, Lane Kiffin, you know how you see those people that do those parlor tricks that set up those dominoes that go all the way around the room, knocking each other down until they finally tip over, do a little trick at the end? He's the top domino. He's the top domino. And so whatever he does, it's going to have a ripple effect throughout all of college football.
Matt, kind of looking at it also, let me tell you the team or the program that I think is smarter than all of them. You know who that would be? It would be Virginia Tech. You know why? Because they've already hired their coach, and they got a good one.
That's a great point. And here's the other thing, too. And I give Virginia Tech credit, and I give the head coach that they hired credit. He said, you know what? This is a good deal for both of us. Let's go.
You know where he was last week? He was at the ball game on the sideline of the Virginia State game, getting to know those players, getting to know the fans. It was a home ball game, getting to know those fans. I watched Shane Franklin here for 8 or 9 years
right
at Vanderbilt. He did a wonderful job here. And where he did a wonderful job was in the community. Nashville is not a Vanderbilt town. It is about 50% Tennessee, and then you got every other fan base in the Southeastern Conference, and a bunch of the Big Ten teams are down here, too. A bunch of Texas teams are down here. Of course, they're in the SEC now. But he did a wonderful job on that. I thought that was pretty darn impressive, but very smart. Just think right now. All right, Florida, LSU, Ole Miss wants to keep him. Probably others are talking to him. But they're going to have to hire some. He can't coach for all three of those programs, right? I don't think that's possible, right? These programs are sitting there. National signing date is December the 3rd. That just a little over a week away.
That's my point on the calendar. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make on the calendar. I mean, all of a sudden, you got a huge ball game, and then you've got a huge decision, and you've got huge implications all squeezed into about a two-day period.
And I would say this. I don't think we're feeling sorry for Lane Kiffin. His decision is going to be is, where am I going to earn my $15 million a year?
Yeah. I mean, that's you and I both coached a long time, and neither one of us made $15 million a year. We both made money. But you're right. But to me, this is going to have such a ripple effect as to what goes on, because there's a lot of people. And here's the other thing, too. I believe he's a Jimmy Sexton client, right?
Yes.
Jimmy Sexton's got a lot of these guys, and rightfully so. I mean, this power broker type of ripple effect is going to go all through the country.
Let me tell you something about Jimmy Sexton. When I first went to Tennessee in 1980, he was the head manager of the team. He was still in school. His first client, the way he got into the agent business one way, was a guy named Reggie White.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Who ended up being a pretty good
Pretty
good pick on that. But right now here's the thing that he has going for him. Number one, he has almost every single coach. All these coaches that Florida's talking to and LSU's talking to and probably Auburn's talking to, he probably has every single one of them except maybe one. I think Armstrong has a couple of them also. But, Mac, just think about when you're sitting there negotiating with the athletic director. Number one, Jimmy Sexton knows how much they will pay because he knows how much they were paying their former coach because their former coach was with him. He knows what all the other bids are going to be. I mean, he's sitting there holding four aces and just kind of looking at you and saying, okay, so which way are you going to go with this? Because I know where I'm going to end up.
That's a great analogy, holding the four aces. You're right.
Let's hit a couple of other things here before we get out of here today. Mac, quarterbacks are always going to be the center, the focus of college football, pro football too. So any discussions you have, good or bad. Examples, Arch Manning, Diego Pavia. Arch Manning didn't ask for the publicity he got, so that's the bad part. But the good part is he's making a ton of money on name, image, likeness. Certainly the Manning name has brought him a lot of great things. It's probably brought him some headaches too. On the other side, you got Diego Pavia, junior college player, went to New Mexico Military Academy, went to New Mexico State, the same one that lost to Tennessee by however many points it was a bunch. And here he is now. Would not surprise anybody, I don't think, that looked at it realistically, that he will probably be, and if they beat Tennessee, he will unquestionably be in New York sitting on that stage waiting to see.
That's the truth.
And let me tell you this. As everybody knows, I graduated from there. Vanderbilt's never had anybody close to him, ever. And even going back to when they – back in the teens, ever. And this young man, you talk about somebody who has come out of nowhere – he's 5'9". They list him as 6 foot, I think. If he's 6 foot, I'm 6 foot, and I'm 5'9", maybe on a good day if I've got shoes on. He probably runs a 4.8 40, but let me tell you what is. I really watched him play a lot, and I want to kind of end the show with this about this young man. When he plays quarterback, he knows what that defense is doing. He knows where they're going to be on pass throws. That's why he rarely throws the ball in coverage. He sees the field. He is as smart a quarterback, and a lot of his experience, knows the offense as well as Jerry Kill does, who, well, that's probably a little overstatement. But bottom line is, we're seeing a young man here. You better appreciate. I know Vanderbilt fans do. I appreciate him just as a college football fan and a former coach watching him play. He is fun to watch play.
He's galvanized that whole thing. The whole thing has flipped. He's flipped the script for that whole thing, and I agree with you. And let's go back to something that you said earlier about him being probably one of the better game day quarterbacks in the best conference in the country. And nobody gave him any of that. He earned every inch of that.
Clock just hit zero. Join us next week for our weekly coaches meeting. This is Coach to Coach.